Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Good day, sir.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on May 16th, 2013. It's titled, Mayor Emanuel's FOIA Policy, Don't Ask Because We Won't Tell. FOIA, of course, stands for the Freedom of Information Act.
Ooh.
And Nikki likes that. And this article describes the efforts of public school parent Glenn Krell to extract from Chicago Public Schools records of how CPS arrived at its policy around a longer school day.
The great Glenn Krell.
Well, regarding the reason that Mr. Krell can't get the records he seeks, you summarize the possibilities as follows. Number one, CPS never had documentation supporting its analyses and policy decisions. Number two, CPS used to have said documentation, but they destroyed it. CPS has the said documentation, but it's lying when it says that it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the latter point implies that they've clearly stated that they never had it or that they tossed it. Is that a good summary of what's
possible? Excellent job. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash.
Double.
Or take it out of the TIF fund that's funding the new hotel basketball arena, which we'll be discussing next week.
Teaser. Does CPS have any statutory obligation to retain the documentation that supports policy decisions?
Excellent question. And this falls into the limbo land of what you must keep and what you are allowed to throw away. I'm no lawyer, as I always say.
Play one on the podcast.
This, and there are provisions that govern how public bodies can get rid of public documents. If this were a serious matter, if this was a real lawsuit, and there was an attorney representing Krell who was really pressing CPS, and there was a judge who was acting as the middleman, so to speak, as a judge, then CPS would have to explain how its policy is conforming to the law. But since this is just a fake judicial procedure, since there's no real effort on the part of the attorney general to force Chicago Public Schools to reveal what documentation it has.
And I just want to clarify, when you said fake legal procedure, you're talking about the procedure under the Freedom of Information Act of requesting information from a public body and their obligations.
Yeah, the way this process worked, CPS led Krell and all parents to believe that they had a basis for the policies that they were enacting, that there was planning, studies, reports, analysis, etc. This is what they told the public.
You said that if this had gone to court,
yes, sir,
a judge would force CPS to explain whether CPS conformed to its statutory obligations vis-a-vis record keeping.
Yes. A lawyer would ask a judge to do that. If the judge was paid off, he would not do that, but yes.
So what statutory obligation do they have?
There is a statute. I'm not the state code, but I've looked at it. Don't know the number of it, but there's a statutory code that, as I said, governs getting rid of public documents, and you're supposed to follow that.
Public bodies in general or CPS?
All public bodies, including CPS. See, originally, if we really want to go back, CPS's lawyer told Krell that the Illinois school code allowed them to get rid of the material. Well, there's no provision in the Illinois school code governing this whole matter. It's sort of like made that answer up.
So it exists somewhere in state code, but not in the school code.
Yes. And then so Krell, I mean, this guy has really pursued this thing on many fronts.
Like a dog with a bone.
Like a dog with a bone, has forced CPS to admit that they do not abide by the school code when it comes to information that he's seeking. They abide by, I think it's the public record code or something like that. So they've essentially acknowledged that the first response they gave him was erroneous. So now, really what Krell is doing is forcing public bodies, the Attorney General's office and Chicago Public Schools, to take serious their obligation to turn over information under the Freedom of Information Act. And clearly, he's found CPS is stonewalling him and that the Attorney General's office is not willing to force CPS to stop stonewalling. I was curious. I called some lawyers to ask them, what would you do in a matter like this? And I talked to two lawyers, only quoted one in the story. I thought his response was pretty good.
Do you think Krell will end up going to court?
I don't think so. You know, that's a lot to ask. He's a private citizen. He has a full-time job and a family.
He could do a Kickstarter campaign.
Mayor Rahm would be the first to kick in a little money for that one. I think that it would be absurd for him to have to go to court. First of all, I think Chicago Public Schools should turn over what they have. Or they should come right out and say, we never had anything to begin with. Or they should say, yes, we had something to begin with, but we threw it out because we don't want you to see what we had. None of those responses are adequate. And if they're not willing to do that, then it's the Attorney General's job to force them to abide by the law.
Have you encountered this sort of stonewalling from other city agencies where you get either we never had it or we don't have it anymore?
This is a first for me. I got to tell you, this is in many ways, I find myself saying this in so many different aspects. Mayor Rahm's administration is a lot less transparent and open than Mayor Daley's was, at least in regards to turning over information for Freedom of Information Act. My colleague, the great Nick Dumke, is Mr. Freedom of Information Act, and he has battled the Daley administration on all sorts of things. And particularly with police matters, they've not been forthcoming. But when it comes to seeking documentation for things governing, the parking meters, they turned it over to us. Actually, let me amend that. The Daley administration was terrible, too. They put Mick through so much hell on so many different FOIA cases. You know, we've had this conversation before. I think FOIA is sort of like a joke that government plays on its people.
Not your style.
Yeah, it's not my style. They make you put this formal request for stuff that they should be providing anyway. There's no reason in the world in the age of the internet that all this information isn't readily put out in an available, easy to find.
In fact, Mick did a report, I think late last year, maybe it was 2011, where he talked about there's an unofficial policy in the city of Chicago. FOIA officers wait the maximum 5 days to respond, regardless of whether they're ready to respond or not.
Absolutely. Like I said, Mick's the man on FOIA law. In essence, Mayor Emanuel and before him, Mayor Daley, used FOIA law to keep people from getting access to information. And in some ways became sort of like almost like a sadistic way of taunting and teasing the public. They're playing it out with Krell beyond anything. That's why I said Rahm's worse than Daley, because I can't recall Daley ever having one of his flunkies at the Board of Ed contend that they threw the information out. That's why I said we have to give Mayor Rahm credit for establishing a new beachhead in the war against releasing information.
Well, I wonder if it's just the Emanuel administration having to sleep in the bed that they made, because one could make the case that the Emanuel administration has foisted some extreme policies upon CPS and other city agencies. Oh, I got this great idea. Just go do it. And then they have to do somersaults and backflips to implement it. And then there's no, you know, there's no serious justification. They're just trying to conform to what the boss wants.
Now we get into the realm of why won't they show us what they have? So you're right. It's such poorly implemented, so obviously ill thought out policy. It doesn't seem like it's driven by anything practical that adheres to what people who send their kids to the schools or attend the schools or teach in those schools have to deal with. I presume that there's not much that they'd be proud of that would be in the back rooms. There's also the issue of emails that have gone back and forth. My guess is that a lot of this policy is either shaped by PR flunkies or they're there every step of the way. And so we'd see how the Emanuel administration operates, like who's in on these discussions.
And they don't want to reveal that.
They don't want to reveal that. I'm sure there's nobody resembling a legitimate educator, nobody who's ever thought about public schools in the mix. I'm sure it's all political types and PR guys and spinmeisters. If they were to turn over part of the documents to Krell but not turn over the emails, that would be embarrassing. So they figure, well, we'll run out the clock. We won't give them anything. I'm disappointed. I don't know if I could say I'm disappointed with the Emanuel administration. I expect nothing different from them, really. I mean, they couldn't care less about the public. That's obvious. I am disappointed with Attorney General Madigan's office. They let him off the hook, as I pointed out within the article. I think they have a greater obligation to force the Chicago Public Schools to adhere to the law, and they're clearly dropping the ball on this.
Let's talk about another guardian of the public good, so to speak, the Office of the Inspector General for the City of Chicago. Recently, a bunch of aldermen, including those that are in the so-called Progressive Reform Caucus, proposed a group of ordinances. I won't describe, folks, the gesture that Ben just made.
Yeah. The progressive reform.
Too bad we don't have the video version of this podcast.
You're talking about the Paul Douglas Coalition?
No, no,
the
Alliance. The Progressive Reform
Coalition. Oh, I'm sorry. The real reformers.
You have no spite for them.
I'm sorry. No, no, no.
You were talking about
the Paul Douglas group.
You were being facetious about
it. Particularly funny group. Okay. Yeah. No, I respect the like the Fioretti's and the Wagasbacks and the Sawyers, et cetera. Yes.
So those guys, in addition to a total of 20 aldermen, introduced a group of 4 ordinances that would strengthen the Office of Inspector General, would do, among other things, give the OIG the authority to enforce its own subpoenas, which the Illinois Supreme Court recently ruled that it cannot. The law does not allow it to. And it would guarantee the budget of the Office of Inspector General, because now they're beholden to whatever the mayor sets it at.
Right.
And I recently did a report on these ordinances for Inside Chicago Government, and I talked to Alderman Wagasbeck, who is one of the sponsors of these ordinances. And these ordinances went to the Rules Committee, which we've talked about before, and I said to him, Alderman, what strategy do you have to get it out of there and bring this to a vote? And his response was, I think between the mayor's campaign promises and the good solid number of city council members that say they're behind this, I think we'll be okay. And he was referring, when he's talking about campaign promises, he was referring to a pledge made by candidate Rahm Emanuel that, quote, any efforts to block the inspector general from getting information will not be tolerated, end quote. So I'll go all Amy Goodman on you and say your response, you know, to his optimism that he can get this passed.
Amy Goodman on me. Well,
is it misplaced?
I don't want to,
you don't want to diss your buddy
on,
Scott.
The great, yeah. Scott. I hope he prevails on this, but it's pretty obvious that Mayor Emanuel has learned to loathe the inspector general's office and has no more intention of giving him more power than he does in, quote unquote, reforming the TIFs. These are campaign promises he made. Obviously, they were the first he was going to break, right up there with, I'm not going to raise your taxes, which he's raised. I'm not going to create new TIFs, which he's created. And I'm going to have a rigorous analysis of all TIF expenditures to make sure that they're desperately needed. Well, we're about to throw $55 million out the window on the aforementioned arena on the South Loop. The only problem with reform promises made by Rahm is that the public chose to believe them.
So it's not Rahm's fault.
Yeah, it's not Rahm. I always blame the citizens of Chicago. What in the world, in Rahm Emanuel's background, would lead anybody to conclude that he was a good government reformer? The guy was like a muscle man for political hacks his whole life. You know, he was the guy in the back room swearing at people to get them to fall in line. What is there to lead you to believe that once given all the power in the city, he would become a reformer? I think people were either deluding themselves or they don't care about reform. I think a lot of Chicagoans just don't care that there's oversight. So without the inspector general, there's no rigorous oversight over, let's say, the upcoming parking meter deal, which is probably going to be every bit as a debacle as the last parking meter deal.
So you think there isn't any chance of these ordinances getting passed?
No. And I will wager, what can we put on this? A friendly wager, Dave. Lunch. I always bet lunch.
I didn't say that I thought.
Oh.
I was asking,
right.
I was asking Wagasbeck why he thought.
Well, I've made a few bets with Scott over the year, and I can't recall who's won or lost. I think I actually won one because he paid for lunch. So, Scott, I'm putting this out there. If this thing passes, I will buy you lunch at the restaurant of your choice in your ward, and if it doesn't pass, you owe me lunch.
And we can quote him. That's Ben Jarofsky. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome, sir.
Listeners, we welcome your questions and suggestions for future interviews via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. What's that you say? You want automatic downloads of all our print and audio reporting? Well, on your web, go to chigov.com. Look for the box that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.